The 2017 AFL season is proudly brought to you by Toyota. Toyota footy. Oh, what a feeling.
Triple M footy is the number one football call on radio. And your front row.
For the Fiat Professional promotion, until June 30, get 3 years free servicing, 5 years warranty, and 5 years roadside assist on select vans. Conditions apply. Learn more at fiat.com.au.
Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Rub.
For McDonald's Chicken Big Mac.
Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome to the MCG. Looking forward to the Hawks and the Gold Coast on a magnificent June day. The best city in the world and the best football stadium in the world is our home for the next 4.5 hours. It's going to be absolutely sensational. Sam Jacobs to join us, talk about last night. Rodney Eade to join us, talk about today. Grant Birchall here to talk about today, not playing, but the snake will just slither in here and give us five of his very best minutes. I look around here. I just heard your number one station for football, Bristol. Don't actually need to say that anymore. That's like saying a car's got four tyres. That's how obvious it is to say number one. Oh, honestly, it's become embarrassing. Oh. So what we'll do is we'll just breeze on past that because the family, the Triple M football family, know about the 10-plus ratings dominance of this show for 15 years. And a lot of it on the back of the best caller in football, Bristol. They did a great job last night trying to make one of the poxiest games of all time interesting, and you did the very best you could, Bristol. Nice to see you. Damo as well. And because the Ducks in Bali having a little mid-year furlough, we've got Naif Brown just sliding in. Hello, Naif.
Excited to be here, Jim.
And just did what I've done. I've done a couple of times, so I'll put that right on the table, and that's go to the wrong venue. But you did get here in time, which is better than me.
Well, I like to get places on time, so I like to sort myself out. I got to Etihad Stadium today. I sat down and had a Nazi Goreng like I normally do, and I'm looking around going, gee, haven't the Hawks dropped off this year? There's no Hawthorne supporters anywhere. And it still hasn't clicked. So I went over to Gate 9 where we go in, the corporate entry, and there's no one out the front. I thought, gee, I am early. I was just about to ring Snorkel and say, how do I get up? There's no one out the front. And then the door's open for me and there's all these people that I didn't really realise. And I had a sinking feeling that the game was at the MCG. Jumped in a cab and I said, mate, I want to go to the MCG. What's the quickest way? He goes, oh, I don't know.
Well, the last time I did it, as Purple will remember, I didn't get here in time. And I think we had Gil McLachlan on as a special guest.
Which is...
Bristol, not only did I get into the car park, then the bloke at our entrance let me in with his key up to level C and I got into the actual commentary box.
What was he doing there,
that guy? The only person in the place. I've been where you've been, Nath. Don't feel bad about yourself. Now, Bristol, just get the look. I look at you.
Yeah, look at him.
And I can see that you've got some stuff.
Look, I've got some news on Duck in Bali, but we're going to save. We're just going to park that for a moment.
I've seen Duck in Bali too. Yeah,
this is rather incredible. I just want to. I'm told, JB, that a very prominent football identity, someone that we all know very well, last Saturday evening around about 6 p.m., leaving the Channel 7 building on his way to do his regular radio Saturday night gig.
Yes.
He left Channel 7 and was heading up to, and he had a walk of some 200 metres.
Oh, yes.
Heading up to Etihad Stadium there. And
a Channel 7 person?
Just a well-known identity.
Okay.
At this stage,
just trying to narrow it down.
So ensconced in his iPad, he was as he left the big red building there, and walking along the path, as I say, a hike of some 200 metres. he's got the iPad there, and
watching Instagram or
don't know what
TAB
he was
account
hooked into, possibly a TAB account. Yep. I'm told that that's a bit of an issue for him.
Yep. I think I'm narrowing it down. I'm definitely narrowing it down.
He got to Esplanade Drive there in front of AFL HQ, and he's tripped over the curb, face planted on Esplanade Boulevard there. The iPhone smashed, which was in his pocket. The iPad, which he was reading, smashed into pieces. And the said bag that he was carrying polluted the road with all of the contents of the one said bag.
Betting slips.
Ripped jeans. At this stage, there's a very big audience gathering because they've gone, who is this guy that looked rather clumsily as he tripped over the curb and face-planted onto the deck? And as the big crowd was gathering and they were just about to go in to help him, assist him, and as he got up, there was blood streaming from his nose. He had a broken nose. He had a lot of facial blood. And the crowd realised it was one Nathan Brown.
Oh, no.
And as he attempted to walk off, because he was really a bit embarrassed at this stage, he realised he couldn't walk because he had done the ligaments in his ankle. And he was unable to walk off quickly as blood trickled from the nose, just face-planting, destroying the iPad, I'm told, hooked into whatever betting company he is.
He would be watching a race. Yeah, I know that's what would have been the reason he was distracted.
Nathan Brown, is this true? Did you make an absolute clown of yourself in front of AFL HQ?
You've got some good mail, Brian. I did. It was dark. I was walking up to call the North Melbourne-Richmond game, and I was on the iPad, and the iPad is smashed. I don't have it here today. I was trying to place a bet on a horse race.
In Toowoomba.
In Carnarvon.
Carnarvon. Oh, no.
All the way over at Carnarvon, and Tripp didn't see it, rolled my ankle, had to go and see Gary Zimmerman the next day,
the
ex-Bulldogs doctor, and had scans, and the ankle was no good. But it is true that these young guys come over to help, and as soon as they saw it was me, started pissing themselves laughing and started calling me all sorts of names, and they were on the ground laughing themselves, and it wasn't my finest 5 minutes.
No, it was good, but there's that, and there's news on Duck later in Bali.
Is there? Yep.
All I know, Purple, with our man the Bristle, is I've never known a man to have more eyeballs in Melbourne than Brian.
And you know by the time it makes the airwaves that the story has had a lot of mayonnaise
placed upon it. No question of that, but it's just if you think you're going to ever get away with anything, no. There's no chance. There's no chance of it. That's what I've learned over the trip.
He's got rorts everywhere and spies everywhere.
Spies everywhere, and anything you've got up to will come back to bite your heart on the freckle.
Which is a worry for all of us
and
everyone around town, who I think may also face some BT direction at some stage of the next 90 or so minutes.
Yeah, there's another big name as well that we've got some news on. No one knows about this. This is going to, it's not going to shock the footy world. It might shake the footy world.
Oh, hello.
It's going to be there later.
A little something we don't know. I like that. Now, the vault.
Yep.
The vault's coming up, Bristle, in about half an hour, I think. And this is, we're moving with the vault. The vault so far this year has taken football by storm.
Get in quick because my solicitor is fast approaching a stop on all of this. I'm told.
You sold the tapes that are in question.
Well, my wife accidentally sold them at a clearing sale.
The Sunday morning garage sale. So what it is, Nafe, is it is by far and away the most listened to thing on Melbourne football radio. Like daylight next. That's how far in front it is. But so far, it's been about the interviews. It's been about Nadia Comaneci. It's been about George Foreman. It's been about Dar Davies or whatever the hell his name was. Leroy Burrell.
Leroy
Burrell. So it's been about all of them. But
my contacts stretch overseas, JB, and I know that you blokes have been trying to contact Nadia Comaneci. there's no chance that I'll be here if she comes on.
There's been a bit of traction there, BT.
Yeah, well, this one, Nafe, we go in show. So it's not about the interview anymore. It's actually about the treacle that was coming out of Bristol at 5:30 in the morning.
Come on.
3UZ, the sporting factory. What was it called?
3UZ, the good sport.
The good sport. And this, my understanding, because I never hear them until they go to air, my understanding is this one was actually had a bit of Valentine's Day attached to it. And according to Rosie Walton, who has a great ear for radio, she says it's the best yet. So we'll give you just a little sample of what's coming.
Brian of Epping. Brian, bad luck, Brian. You're on your way to work too, Brian, I suppose.
That's right, Brian.
Good on you, Brian. Thanks for your call.
Thanks a lot, Brian.
That's a mini Brian off.
Oh, come on.
So that's coming up in about half an hour.
Now, that's made up because why would anyone have a tape of callers?
Mini Brian off.
He had a little Brian off. So, in fact, I think I probably need to hear that again. Host Mary, give us another sample of that, please.
Brian of Epping. Brian, bad luck, Brian. You're on your way to work too, Brian, I suppose.
That's right, Brian.
Good on you, Brian. Thanks for your call.
Thanks a lot, Brian.
Oh, you guys have edited all that. This is fast becoming a bloody fool.
All right, that's coming up. You can't be missing that. Now, Bristol, over to Adelaide you went last night, and there was no sizzle attached to that game from the two-minute mark till the final siren.
Boy, Adelaide just complete control. We wondered whether they were going to show something, and it's hard to judge how good Adelaide were, but obviously they were impressive. St Kilda, not so impressive, but... There had been talk in Adelaide all week, JB, given the fact that they'd lost three games, that you know things were collapsing
yes.
around the Adelaide Football Club, and of course they weren't. We know that they're much better side than what perhaps some people thought. Look, they were very, very impressive last night, but they were playing the Saints, who I reckon this year, in the first half a dozen rounds, were heading in an upward trend, Damo, and have plateaued, if not dropped over the edge just a little bit.
Oh, I think they have dropped over the edge.
And that's a concern.
Well, on the score ledger, 5 and 6 suggest they have. In the
last three
games, Jim, two before a bye, and then last night being the return game from the bye. The Sydney team, the Western Bulldogs, and then Adelaide last night, I think there's enough evidence in those three games to suggest real concerns for Alan Richardson.
Even with Brownie, Sloan being well held last night, they were still able to find a way pretty easily.
Lacked intensity the last 3 weeks, and we've covered the Saints' last three games, and just around the footy. I remember when they played GWS, they were Bulldogs-like or Sydney-like. They were just at them the whole time, frontal pressure from behind, and then last 3 weeks, they haven't been able to lay a hand on anyone. Their skill level at the moment is it's either a 10 out of 10 or it's a 1 out of 10, so they're not being able to hit their targets and getting turned over all the time. They're not a top 12 side at the moment.
Nick Riewoldt is going to join us at 1 p.m. We can ask Rui a little more about this, but the coach last night, Damo?
He spoke to us on Triple M Footy pre-match and indicated that the break had come at a good time given those poor losses against Sydney and the Western Bulldogs, but then post-match after losing to Adelaide the way they did, was really disappointed.
At times we looked like a rabbit in the spotlight, I reckon, I don't know whether we were just a little bit sloppy coming off the bye. We've had 3 weeks where we've been disappointing. We need to respond in a really aggressive manner, but more importantly, getting back to playing the way that we want to play, and we've just dropped away from that. We've just become a conservative, easy to defend, easy to score against footy team, and that's what we need to fix.
That's the bit I reckon Nath that he'll be most disappointed about out of last night. 31 scoring shots against, 62 insides against. That just means that the other mob are having their way with you.
Which is hats, wasn't it, last night? And conservative. That was a big word that he threw in there, conservative. You never want to play conservative football, particularly if you're going over to Adelaide. You've got to take it on. The way Melbourne did when they beat them over there, you can't be left wondering where the game's going to go.
They
and that's
can't
what
score.
The Saints fans.
Over the last 4 weeks, I think it's total scores of like 50. 60, 66, and then whatever they kicked last night, which wasn't a lot.
No, probably 57 around about, or something. Yeah,
but so previous to that, they were big scorers,
they
weren't
they? They were. At the start of the year, they were finding scoring really easy, and they were able to capitalise. But for some reason, the scoring abilities dropped off. Now, Josh Bruce goes back to the VFL, spends 3 weeks in the VFL, comes back, and just about at one stage had kicked their total score last night. So obviously he goes... going okay. Paddy McCartan showed some glimpses again last night, Brownie. Just some pickups and just...
Yeah, I agree with that.
He was on the lead and on the charge and he looked okay. Membry was perhaps the quieter one of the three talks that they had there.
I thought Bruce was good last night, but I really enjoyed Paddy McCartan the way he worked. He worked up the ground. Always didn't get the ball always, but there's something to work with in Paddy McCartan. Yep. I'd be just saying to him, I'm not going to put you back to the twos. I'm just going to play you every week. We might not play finals this year, but you need AFL football every week. You need the best defender, and you just got to work your backside off.
Are you convinced he's going to make it?
I think he'll make it. I don't think he's the number one draft pick who's going to be a superstar like they thought, but I think he'll have a good career in the AFL.
You mentioned the turnovers from St Kilda. So are they good enough at the back end? So guys like Robertson, Joey Montagna we know is a great kick. Robertson's perhaps been manufactured into that better kick. Are they good enough to play in that position to be able to dispose of the football under extreme pressure and hit the target?
Joey Montagna is. Yep. Webster is off the back end.
Yep.
The rest of their back end, Nathan Brown, not a great kick. I don't think Jake Carlisle's a great kick. I think Robertson's an okay kick, but he makes poor decisions. So when they put pressure on him, he turns the ball over. So if I was Robertson, I'd be trying to give it off And you've got to have your midfielders getting back to support you. So you want Jack Stephen getting back there. You want Kobe Stephens getting back there to try and get the ball off those guys. If they're not working back to support, then you don't have the options to give it to coming out, and you're under pressure on your own.
Injury issues also, too, with Carlisle and Brown. They're two key defenders suffering hamstring complaints. And again, we'll learn more in the next 24 hours as to the extent of the damage there. But it's a worry, isn't it, given the role that they've been playing, and they've been okay, but if they're now going to go into the back half of the season with worries about Revolt, who we'll hear from soon, as Jim said, and also their key defensive players as well, it could be a messy back half for Alan Richardson.
And just one thing on Adelaide before we leave this game alone. Young Jake Lever in the back half. Now, unsigned at the moment, Damo.
You know more than you're going to tell us.
Nice focus on him from you, Bristol. I picked up on it.
They need to shore that up.
In-call focus is what I picked up on.
A little bit of Leon about it.
did you hear it, Jim, what he said last night?
I loved it, yes.
Yeah, but this is a good player.
No, he's a very good player.
This is a guy that's going to play 200 games for whichever club he goes to.
You think he's gone, don't you?
He, along with Daniel Talia, and even Jake Kelly, who's playing some real good footy as well. That's the nucleus of a very nice young back line they've got coming through if they can retain them all.
You've twice tabled the topic of Lever on this show in consecutive weeks.
If Melbourne clubs aren't looking at him, they should all be looking at him.
You know they are.
Well, I don't know they are.
Listeners know what you know.
I don't.
Like you normally do.
All I know is that if they are recruiting the way they should be, how could you go past a 21-year-old guy who's going to play 250 games?
Yeah, spot on. And Daniel Talia, I reckon he's the second best defender in the comp behind Rance at the moment.
Imagine him, Lever, Kelly. Who else they got in the back half?
Hardigan. Brown.
Yep, they've got it all, haven't they?
Last night, amazing win from the Adelaide Crows. 57 points at home, 16-15 to the Saints, 7-12. They had control pretty much the whole way through. They've got a very, very good ruckman playing for them by the name of Sam Big Sauce Jacobs, and he joins us now. Sauce, welcome to you.
Thanks, boys. Thanks for having me on.
Pretty bruise-free, it appeared, last night. You had control right from the get-go.
Yeah, it was. It was obviously good to come out and start the game well after having a pretty disappointing week last week in Geelong, and we knew Saints were obviously a good quality team when they're up and about, so it was good to start well and put the pressure back on them.
What was the aim? What were you trying to do last night? What come off for you?
Just the contest. We sort of really shifted it back during the week and wanted to get our fundamentals right. And, you know, contested ball has been a real strength of ours this year. And, you know, we were really poor in it the week before. So we sort of recognised that and tried to rectify it.
Sauce, you've been unbelievable at home this year. I think an average 75-point winning margin. The issues are going to be, and they're going to talk about it the same way we talk about West Coast, is when Adelaide come to Melbourne. You came down, you lost to North Melbourne, you lost to Geelong. It is a hard road trip. Have you addressed that? How are you addressing it? And the future?
I guess probably the good thing is at least we're winning in Melbourne at the moment. So I don't think we go to Tassie again, which is good. But, you know, our form interstate hasn't been an issue in the past. You know, we've only dropped three games this year and, you know, we sort of, you know, recognise that we didn't, you know, come to play with the right mindset in those games. And but, yeah, it's not an issue for us going forward.
The commentary after the Geelong loss, Sam, did it actually get some cut through into the players' mind? It seemed to from the outside. I just wanted to ask you if it actually did.
No, probably not so much. We probably, you know, Pikey sort of touched on just keeping a bit of perspective. You guys know what the Adelaide media is like, and I guess there was a lot of commentary about us, you know, playing against Geelong and you know, I think, you know, losing to them, you know, five times in a row now. But, you know, Pikey was really good. He's really, really level-headed with that and just sort of touched off that, you know, there is all the outside noise about that. But let's keep a bit of perspective that, you know, we are second on the ladder. We've been playing some great footy this year and, you know, we've got another opportunity to beat St Kilda heading into the bye.
You've been around long enough now to be able to make a reasonable assessment of where a club's at the halfway point. Do you feel that your best is absolutely premiership worthy?
Yeah, absolutely. We've got a really strong belief that if we play the way we want, it's definitely going to be good enough. You know, we've shown we played some really good footy against some quality teams at the start of the year. We played really well against Giants. You know, played a good game against Port Adelaide, and you know, so I think we've shown that our footy's, you know, is good enough, and also at the same time our contested ball numbers are really good, so it shows our contest stuff's really good, and I think that's going to be important come finals.
You've got good depth. Is it fair to say you don't know who your best 22 or 23 are yet? I mean, you played Jonathan Beach last night, first gamer, mature, mature rookie. Greenwood's been playing an important role for you this year. He had 17 touches last night. Riley Knight played a few games but gets another opportunity last night. So there's still plenty of upside for you guys as well.
Yeah, I totally agree, BT. I guess it's a real strength of ours that we rely, you know, on an even contribution. You know, I don't think we have, I guess, those standout players where, you know, I guess you see that Geelong's probably the obvious one with Dangerfield and the Selwood boys that, you know, they seem to rise in the big occasions. But as a team, I guess the expectation is that everyone plays their role. And you probably see at the moment with Sloaney getting tagged that even though he's not getting his, I guess, his possession rate that he has in the past, he's still having an impact, but it's just sort of in a different sort of role at the moment.
Hey, one thing we were talking about on the broadcast last night was the man you just spoke of there, Rory Sloan. Now, he was heavily tagged last night and he will be for the rest of the year. We thought in some ways, and maybe we didn't see it the way you saw it, but I'd be interested in your thoughts anyway. That's why I'm asking the question. Did you guys give him enough help to break the tag? Was there enough banging into the player that was trying to get hold of him, pushing, shoving, shepherding, you know, that sort of team help to get rid of the tag?
Yeah, I think you know, we did at times, BT. With you know, I guess as a team, you always look at it, you always feel you can do more to help him. You know, it's obviously gets to be a harder time. Sometimes you got to, you know, focus on the play and setting up. You know, there's so much going on in game at the moment. You know, you're always thinking about what's happening, but at the same time, you can't. You know, you got to help your mate out. So I think definitely we can keep helping him out. And you know, you saw last night we tried a few different things. We sent him to Jack Stephen at times and. He went back to halfback as well. So, you know, we'll keep getting better as a team to try and help him out because, you know, we want to make it easier for him and get the ball in his hands. He's obviously a class player.
Source, you're on top of the ladder at the moment. GWS, Geelong, Richmond, Port Adelaide are the teams you've already played. They're right behind you. The only team you've lost to is Geelong. Who is the best of that group coming after you?
I think probably, you know, I guess it's probably fresh in the mind as well, but, you know, we caught probably Geelong at their best last week. I thought they were fantastic. I think Scott Selwood's come in and I reckon he's brought a real, you know, different mix to their midfield. I think his defensive side of his game really allows, I guess, Danger and Selwood to get after the ball at stoppages. And, you know, we saw last week how dangerous they are. But at the same time, like you said, there's probably, you know, four or five teams up the top that are playing really strong footy and going to be around the mark when the, you know, come the end of the year.
Hey, Source, you know I've got nice intel into the Adelaide setup.
Yep.
I understand that my man Texan is now completely loved up to the point where it's embarrassing. His behaviour's become embarrassing. And the as part of the leadership group, you've had to go to him and say, listen, you just got to back off with all of the bloody infatuated with your bride sort of stuff.
You're spot on, JB. And the other thing is he's actually taken a bit of a back seat as well. It's almost Ellie sort of, you know, becoming a bit more of a bigger dog than Tex in this town. So,
oh boy.
She was the face of the races and things like that. So maybe Tex is second fiddle at the moment.
No doubt about that. Now, the other ones I love are the Crouch boys. I love the fact that there's real reptile attached to both of them. Tell us what they've been up to, please.
They're both mad, mate. They've both got misses as well, actually. So I think Texas maybe having more of an effect than what we think. So they've both loved up. They're living with each other. And I don't think they've lifted a finger since both of their partners have moved in either. So they're just dictating at the moment and just sitting on the couch and doing another whole lot.
Well, my male source is, well, not even male. I know it because I've heard him say it, that Bernard Vince is disgusted that the legacy he left that place with, which is appalling behaviour, has almost been eradicated to the point where the place is now almost boring.
Well, I think we got Bernie's wedding later in the year, so I think he might need to have a look at himself. He's loved up as well, so maybe he settled down a bit more as well.
He has, no doubt about that. But, mate, loving the way you're going about it. Top of the ladder is a beautiful place to be. Enjoy the rest of the weekend.
Cheers, boys. Have a good one.
Big Sammy Jacobs, Source, one of the better ruckmen in the competition.
He had a good game,
yep.
Too. Really good game.
It took longer to the sword. Hey, I want to ask you, Bristle and Brownie. Texan, no man loves Tex more than me, and no station loves Tex more than Triple M. I'm not sure, as deep as my love is for him, I'm not sure if he's ever got back to where he was prior to his knee blowing up. Is three goals and the productivity we saw from Tex last night absolutely enough for them, or does he need And will he ever get to that Buddy Franklin destroying games sort of setup?
Don Brownie, you go first, and then I've got something.
Well, I don't think he needs to be that Buddy Franklin destroying game, because if Buddy Franklin doesn't do what he does, they don't win. But I think Adelaide have got a better balance in their game. He's not going to be a Wayne Carey. I think he's got the attributes, but I just don't think he has the Wayne Carey ability to do that. But he's got good players around him. And I think everything was funneled through Wayne. Everything was funneled through Lance, where you've got options. You've got Jenkins there. You've got Eddie Betts who can mark it on the lead. You've got Lynch. So I don't think that Tex needs to be that player.
By the way, 7 marks, 18 possessions, 3 goals, 2. Yeah, it's a fine good game of footy. There's no criticism in what we're doing here.
It was a team game of footy. I reckon he's gone through the transition of footy and the way we play it. That is pre-knee. I don't think it's got much to do with the knee. It was more of an individual focus, get it to Tex, Tex will win the game for you and he'll kick 4 or 5. He did that a lot of times, and that's what we got used to seeing Tex as. I think since, or perhaps it's just been coincidental over the last 2 or 3 years since he's been the skipper, he's played a more of a team role, he's been prepared to give it off, he's just been much more rounded in his game rather than pigeonholed as that strong, leading, high-marking forward that he was pre all of that. So we've seen both sides. So I just think he's changed his game. I don't think it's a fact that he hasn't reached the form that he was at. I just think he has changed his game, and I think it's been because of the leadership
change
that he's
been given. Change for the
better? Yes, for the better. Yeah,
they're a better team now, the way they're playing with him in the side, than what they were 3 years ago when he was the superstar.
I agree.
You like the old Tex, though, don't you?
I do, much
yeah,
more.
I love the old Tex, too.
We all do.
And I'm just selfish.
And we will see that. There will be the odd games where he gets out of the loop, as Brownie says, because the attention's going elsewhere, and he'll get out of the loop, and we'll see the odd game, but we're not going to see the consistency of the old Tex that we saw.
I just see, Bristle, the whole package. In other words, the completely pathetically sort of ensconced domestically.
You want the mullet back.
This stupid moustache and this sort of high and tight business he's doing with his head. And I think it's all affected what he used to be and what he is now.
He's become the leader and he's just gone overboard.
He could be a premiership captain, Jim, in 15 matches time.
You know that we all know him well enough to know that there's another level for him to get to.
He's amongst the finest interviewers of our time.
I'm ungettable.
When he's on the clock, Parko, Denton and Oakes take notice.
I am the man.
He's one of the best. This
is about me.
Is Bristle's Vault.
Now, this is the Vault, and everyone now makes an appointment, Nafe, in their diary on a Saturday afternoon to be doing nothing when this occurs. This is going back to 3UZ 1991. Bristle's just retired from Collingwood.
I was a young boy.
He was a captain coach of Paran.
He's written that book.
He'd written the book. In the VFA, he's dominating for Paran, but he's also just dipping his toe into the media water with 3UZ. Breakfast show called what, Bristle?
The Good Sports.
The Good Sports.
He's looking sheepish, but he loves it. He loves and the attention, doesn't he?
So what we've done with all the other vaults, we've focused on some of the big interviews. Nadia Comaneci, of course. George Foreman.
George Foreman twice.
Listen, shut up. You guys, you've got to be good.
Leroy Burrell. All of the big names.
See Leroy Burrell's son over the weekend at the college titles over there, JB.
Sprinting.
Broke his old man's college
fair
record.
Fair income. I didn't see that. Anyway, this time, in show Bristle. So what we've done is we've gone away from interview Bristle and we've gone in show Bristle. 14th of Feb, 1991. This is Valentine's Day.
Early on.
Enjoy.
Currently 19 degrees, 3Z, the Good Sports, 21 to 6.
Till 7 a.m, you're kicking goals with Brian Taylor and the greater 3UZ Good Sports.
Dave Loughton, good morning.
G'day, big fella.
A lot of sport news around with the golf happening. It's really dominated the papers today. I've already been through the papers and golf has absolutely dominated the papers today.
Yeah, I reckon.
See, the Australian Masters this year, in previous years, they've had a setup there where the players go and enjoy lunch free of charge, on IMG's bill, I suppose, and they've always had that this year they're not going to supply lunch for the players, as last year one player had 24 lunches in one day.
That wasn't Chris Patton, was it?
Well, you'd reckon it would be, but had 24 lunches in one day. Must have had a few mates. 3UZ, the Good Sports. Who am I? 347 3477, toll free 008 033 430. I was born in 1936 on August 21st in the United States. Brian of Epping. Brian, who do you think it might be?
Pancho Gonzalez.
No, bad luck, Brian. And, gee, I've stumped them this morning. You're on your way to work too, Brian, I suppose.
That's right, Brian.
A lot of people getting up at this time, aren't there?
Sure are.
Do you miss the traffic? Do you leave right now? Or?
No, I go by public transport.
Oh, well, you're laughing, yeah. Yeah. Is that reliable these days?
Not too bad.
Okay. Good on you, Brian. Thanks for your call.
Thanks a lot, Brian. Good sports.
Let's take a caller on the line. It's Dan of South Melbourne, and he has a St. Valentine's Day greeting for someone in particular. How are you, Stan?
Good, how are you going, mate?
Oh, pretty good, Stan. Who do you want to send this one to, Stan?
Carol Smith.
Carol Smith, yes.
Yep.
What would you like to say?
I'd just like to tell her I think the world of her.
Oh, good on you, Stan.
She's great, and keep up the good work she's doing.
Okay, Stan, well, let's hope she's heard that, and anyone else that would like to call in today on this St. Valentine's Day. Thanks a lot, Stan.
Good
on,
mate.
Okay, let's go to Tracy of Reservoir now, and she has a St. Valentine's Day greeting for someone in particular. I wonder who it is. Tracy, who is it for?
For my husband, Gary. It's his wedding anniversary.
Ah, how sweet.
And I wanted to say happy anniversary and happy Valentine's Day.
Oh, sensational, Tracy. And would he be listening at the moment? Where would he be?
I'm pretty sure he's in the shower because he's bought me a mystery tour for my anniversary present, and we have to leave at 7:30.
Oh, really? So what? How does that actually work?
Well, I'm not really sure. I think you go out, you pay for your ticket, you don't know where your destination is.
Is it by bus or train?
No,
or?
It's by plane.
By plane?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that'll be interesting for you.
Yeah.
Well, have a nice day, and I hope you both have a nice day.
Thanks very much.
3Z The Good Sports. It's 14 past 6 here, and let's have a bit of Manfred Mann. Doo-ah, diddy-diddy.
There she was, just walking down the street.
Who am I? Ken of Frankston. Ken, who do you think I am?
BT. Would it be Tamagio?
Who?
Tamagio.
Who?
From America?
No, bad luck there, Ken. Let's take another caller, and this time it's David of Bayswater. David, it's a pretty tough question, this one, isn't it?
Hello, Brian. Kareem
Abdul-Jabbar is incorrect. Bad luck there, David. Richard, you're next.
I was going to say Kareem Abdul-Jabbar myself.
No, bad luck, Richard.
Okay, thank you.
Good on you. And let's take Bob now, and Bob's gone, so that's another one down the drain. And Norm on a car phone. Whereabouts are you, Norm? Norm's gone. Norm's not anywhere at the moment. So we've got through all those callers, and we've finally got through a morning without giving away the Who Am I?
Till 7 a.m., you're with Brian Taylor and the greatest 3UZ Good Sports.
Come on, Brizzle.
You can't keep doing
Brizzle.
This.
Brizzle.
Destroying me.
Lots of magnificent takeouts for me in the best vault so far. What I loved, I think it was Stan you were addressing when you said, a lot of people getting up at this time. It's the morning. That's when people get up.
And Jim, is the public transport reliable these days?
And then just a nice bridge between a couple of segments. Here's Manfred Mann with some doo-wah diddy diddy.
Doo-wah diddy diddy.
And then Tracy said, I want to think this out to my Valentine. My husband is in the shower. And then Brian's gone,
She said she booked a mystery tour. Oh, what was it? Is it a bus?
How does that work?
How does that work? Is it a bus?
Let's get out to Norm. And Norm's nowhere.
You there, Norm?
Did you notice the first time called you? It was 21-6.
Brutal. Oh,
look, I was young and early.
5:39 a.m.
I'm telling you.
You were getting home at 5:39 only 2 years earlier.
Oh, no, look, it's not fair.
Brian, that is as funny as anything I've ever heard.
Tracy on this mystery tour.
And then, as we said at the top of the show, Nafe then has a mini Brian off with Brian. Yeah. Thank you, Brian. Well, that's nice, Brian. Yeah, Brian. Is it Brian? We'll catch you a little later, Brian. Yeah, thank you, Brian.
Oh, Brian.
I can't go on. The Bristol Vault Damo, have the family come for it?
Yeah, they have. Trent has said that this needs to be put into a box set, the Brian's Vault box set collection. Peter Wickman, the transport hasn't improved. Brian, thanks, Brian. No worries, Brian. Have a good day, Brian. Brian, you too, Brian. Bearded Blue, the mystery tour by bus, but that was popular back in the day. Dylan Leach, that BT's Vault was the funniest radio I've heard in years. Georgie Templeton, Bristol Love, telling people they were wrong on the Who Am I segment. It was the best one yet. I think, Jim, we just need to have a little listen again to the way BT threw to that song.
Yes.
In that,
here we go.
Doo-ah, diddy-diddy.
And as you picked up early, Jim, the Brian off also needs another runaround.
Brian of Epping. Brian, bad luck, Brian. You're on your way to work too, Brian, I suppose.
That's right, Brian.
Good on you, Brian. Thanks for your call.
Thanks a lot, Brian.
We've got a few more here on Facebook from Stephen Pickering. The mini Brian off is the funniest thing I've ever heard. Rolled gold. Johnny Simpson, ah-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha, the best. We've got a couple of ah-has. This is the best radio from Nick Andrew and Stuart McKenzie, oh, by plane. I don't know what that means.
Oh, I think we're sorting out the transport.
Might you, BT, have used the golf expert, the very well-known David Loudon, as one of the callers in that little quiz that no one had the answer to?
Well, look, we didn't get a lot of callers. It was early in the morning, and I think we used most of the staff in the office.
What sort of feedback were you getting from the station bosses at this point? Was it up a bit or down
not,
a bit? Or?
Not a lot, because I don't think they even knew who I was or ever heard the program. So, now,
do you know the name of the golfer that just helped himself to 26 lunches?
No, I don't.
That story amused you, didn't it? Yeah, got a little giggle up when you were telling that one.
Very humorous. Now, we need to straighten up because Narrowly Meadows, first time we say hello to you. Nez, you got a very important gentleman down there with you.
I certainly do. I'm too busy giving him compliments rather than listening. You're looking very trim at the moment, Rocket, it must be said.
Stress, I think, Narrowly. Stress.
Very good. Now, you've got a late change. Tuke Miller is out. What's the story there?
Yeah, he presented yesterday at the club. Not feeling well, and he's got a chest infection, so he struggled to breathe. So we actually gave him to the afternoon, but we knew he wouldn't be right. So so we brought Jesse Lonigan in.
So, Rocket, what are we looking for today? What's the one non-negotiable that you want out of your team today?
It's the same as every week, Brian. It doesn't change a lot, really. I mean, obviously the contest, and we have to put pressure on the opposition. I think every team's going to parrot the same thing. And but the thing of the Hawthorn, when they've played well and they've done well, is they've started well. So we've got to be mindful of that. Now, I think the start's going to be paramount. We don't want to be 4 or 5 goals down a quarter time.
Rodney, you had an issue to deal with during the week by way of a discipline on Jared Harbrow, who, as we know, was recorded for drink driving the morning after having a few drinks. Just knowing the way people at that footy club talk about Jared, he's going to be given every chance, isn't he, to rectify the clear wrong that he's done. Obviously, he's going to miss this game. Have you yet decided what the penalties are beyond that for him?
No, there was a discussion, I think it might have been Tuesday, with a whole group of people. Now it's gone to... Obviously, Marcus and Mark and the hierarchy will sit with, obviously, Jared and his manager. That'll probably get announced on Monday. It's a very disappointing action. I think he's very disappointed in himself, and he's very remorseful. It's not the Jared Harbrow that we know, and I've come to know sometimes at the Bulldogs as well, but you know, the work he does in the community and also his Indigenous to, the academies he has and the work he does with Indigenous people, so I think he was disappointed letting a lot of people down.
Rocket, such an even season. You win today and you're only a game outside the eight, still in finals contention. I mean, round two, it seemed a long time ago when you got belted, but the next week you beat Hawthorn by 86 points. What did you do that day leading into that game that set you on the path for a massive win?
I think it obviously starts the week before. We're really disappointed with the GWS game. Obviously, they're one of the best two teams in the competition, but we were, you know, we really struggled after half time, and we had a few meetings as clubs do in those situations, and I think the players were really disappointed themselves. So obviously had a strong week on the track, and you know, we just got back to basics. And that's a cliched saying, but I think the game's not too complicated. Unfortunately, it gets complicated by people like me and the coaches. We tend to complicate the game a bit too much, but it's still a matter of getting the ball and be able to do something with it. So hopefully we can get that done today.
Rocket, your coaching career spans longer than anyone else's of the current coaches. I'm pretty confident in saying that. Back in the early, mid-90s as a senior coach. Is the game almost unrecognisable to when you started back with the Swans? It must be so different for you.
Oh, yeah, it has changed. And The game changes, I say every 2 or 3 years, but it really changes probably every 12 months. And even within seasons, you know, teams change dramatically the way they play. And there's a lot more thought process goes into how you move the ball and where you move the ball, certain parts of ground. So there's a lot more information for players to take on. So they're not really wired to absorb information. They tend to struggle a little bit. So it's a bit more complicated for the players. As coaches, you've really got to try and simplify it as much as possible. But it has changed dramatically, and the number of staff you have, and I mean, the whole industry's changed a lot.
Rocket, I think this is your only game at the G this year. I noticed a lot of players been out on the ground, had a bit of a look around. What have you told them about this ground?
I haven't told them anything, Brian, to be honest. I think most of them have played here before. I think they're really excited about getting on the MCG, even though it's probably not going to be a big crowd today. But I think playing on the ground and the surrounds makes it, a unique experience. As you said, we only play here once this year, and hopefully we can get a bit more experience in the future.
Peter Wright was crucial to the last win there, Rodney. How's he tracking in your eyes for the young player that he is in this game?
Yeah, at the end of last year, he got a lot of accolades, especially media-wise, about where he was headed. And I tried to sort of take the oxygen out of that a little bit because, you know, 6'8" in the old language, and most taller forwards take a long time to actually mature to 23, 24 years of age. So, we're trying to dull the expectations a little bit, but he's had an up-and-down year. We played quite well against Geelong when we won. Then he had two disappointing games, and I thought last week he sort of turned the corner a little bit as well. So I think he's still going to be inconsistent. He's going to be up and down. I think the one good thing about Peter is he's got a great attitude. He wants to learn. He wants to improve. He knocks on my door every Monday or Tuesday, even if he played a really poor game. So he's really keen to improve himself. But I think it'll be till he's 22, 23, well, then hopefully he can take the competition by storm.
And are you getting out of Michael Barlow? Are you getting what you thought you'd get out of him, Rocket?
Yes, Brian. Early on, I thought we got more out of him than I expected. His leadership's really helped us. You know, we're a really young group and a quiet group, and his voice and his direction has been a real positive. He had some really sore ribs for about 3 or 4 weeks, so he's consequently his form dropped away a bit, but he's starting to turn again. But I think overall the whole package has been real positive for us.
How do you go with all this Ablett commentary, Rocket? It doesn't seem like you can ever hear or read anything about the Gold Coast Suns without him being brought up. And does he stay? Does he go? What is he doing? How do you, as the bloke running the joint, handle that?
Yeah, James, it's interesting. From day one, I knew he was a big-name player. And having coached Lockett and Barry Hall. But Gary goes to another stratosphere. Has been questioned every time I'm interviewed, wherever it is, and there's an obligatory Gary Ablett question, and that's been heightened again, obviously, with the talk that he may want to go home. Obviously, he requested one last year. No, we don't discuss it at all. I haven't discussed that with him. We as a club really haven't discussed it. I suppose Mark Evans put it succinctly that, you know, he's under contract. He's playing really good footy, so I don't know why you'd want to trade, even if he's 33, why you want to trade a player that's probably certainly still your best midfielder and can help you win games.
Hey, talking about that, as Nath Brown correctly said, this is a massive afternoon for you. You get over the Hawks today, you really set up the back half of your season. Good luck, and as always, thanks for being so generous with your time.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
For the first time, we welcome Nick Riewoldt. Rui, welcome to you.
Thank you, mate.
Last night, we need to get straight to that with you. I reckon you sitting at home would have been disappointed with what you saw from the Saints, but what specifically disappointed you?
Well, to be honest, the first 10 minutes, I thought, geez, we're a really good show here. I thought the way we came out, we were really aggressive. Clearly, the way we went after Sloan before the bounce. When you see that as a member of the club and a member of the team, you like seeing it because it means the boys are really invested in the contest, but you know, they were just far too good for us, I guess, probably from about midway through the first quarter onwards.
And why was that? If you're dissecting it yourself, what about it fell away?
Yeah, I find it really hard to put a finger on it watching on TV. I just don't think you get to see enough of the game, of the field, of what's going on. But really simply, beaten in contest, which is a pretty common theme for us. When we're beaten in contests, we usually lose the game, or at least that's been the pattern this year. And
what about Lingy was also saying, Rui, that you know how Adelaide love to get out the back.
Yep.
That as a result of that, to combat that, you guys were right up on them, and perhaps a bit too far up. That you, when you did get the footy, there was nothing to go forward to, and also the turnover happened in their forward end.
Yeah, and that's the stuff you don't really get to see unless you're there watching it live. So I found that a little bit difficult to interpret what was happening. And just with our ball use as well, I think Richo mentioned we were far too conservative. We'd spoken about going sideways a little bit too much and probably went a little bit too far the other way and just punted down the line all day. And that's credit to Adelaide's defence, clearly, but we look like we played a little bit conservatively.
McCartan, how did you assess his game?
Yeah, look, I thought he did some nice things. It was a pretty tough day for Fords up St Kilda's end because we weren't getting the ball in there all that often. And when we were, it was coming in pretty haphazardly. But I thought he did some nice things.
What about yourself, Nick? You had the week off before the bye, then obviously the bye, and then missed again last night. North Melbourne looms next Friday.
Any chance you'll be back again?
Yeah, no, I'm pretty confident. I trained yesterday, so I stayed in Melbourne, didn't go across to Adelaide, trained yesterday and had a pretty solid session. So at this stage, I'd be confident of putting my hand up.
I'm hearing, given the awful trouble you've given us for a decade, that there's real problems with it, Rui, and you could be at least another week.
Yeah, we'll see how we go, James. I'd like to get back out there, obviously.
How are you going with the talk around the future, the unknown? I mean, you're an iconic figure, not just for your footy club, but the AFL itself. How are you coping with it?
Yeah, I'm fine, to be honest. I understand that that's a part of it. It's something that I haven't been through before, personally. But I think the first couple of weeks probably was a little bit rattling once the noise started. But I'm okay. I'm fine. I'm more worried about getting back out there, to be honest. And hopefully contributing to turning our season around. We're 5-6. We're still in the mix. But clearly we've got to do something about our performance, and I want to be a part of turning that around.
Yep. You're probably as close to Grant Thomas as anyone in footy, and when he says things publicly, as he has done in recent days, about him telling you that he thinks it may be time that it's over. How does that go with you, given the closeness of the relationship? I know it's an honesty thing with Grant, and that's the way he is, but how does that go for you when that is made public?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. People would be naive to think that what's been said publicly hasn't been said to me first, and probably more honestly. He's been a great mentor of mine for a long time, a really good friend still, and he actually hasn't, said that he thinks I should retire. I think when you look at it all in context, it's more about, what the club team are trying to do in the future. Yep. Yeah.
So but you want to go on still, don't you? I mean, that's been your position to this point, as far as I know. Right now, still, you want to go on?
To be honest, I just want to get back out there and play. Body feels really good. I just needed that extra week this week to just really make sure. But, I just want to get back out there.
So for you in your own mind, does the remaining part of the year, is that what's going to determine it for you? Or you think, forget about that, I can go on? Or is it hinging on how you feel going into this last half of the year?
I don't think so. I think there's a lot that comes into it, and clearly there's another stakeholder, and that's a football club. Yep. But, that'll play out. I'm in no hurry. I don't need to know tomorrow. Like I said, I just want to get back out there. And we've lost three on the trot now. We're in really good form early on in the year. And, I'm a leader of the football club, and I've got a role to play with helping the group turn it around like the other leaders.
And clearly you're still the best player at the club, so they should re-sign you. More importantly, off the field, you've gone from strength to strength since you met Kath. Unbelievably batting well above your average. She's a beautiful woman. And the thing I notice about you every time I see you, you smell so good. Like, you have a smell of him. His clothes smell unbelievable. And that's because of Kath. You didn't smell this way when I knew you when you were a young sort of kid with a real weird haircut.
Yeah, we were probably mixed in some different circles back then too, Nate. So a bit of that smell might have rubbed off on us, the seedy characters we were hanging around. But I've done pretty well. You've done
pretty
all right
well.
Too.
Yeah,
I've both done well. That's a pot calling the kettle black.
That's the fabric
softener. Your beautiful
that's
wife.
That's the secret. Yeah. Secret. The
they're
fabric
all happy
softener
with themselves.
No doubt about that. Hey, with Rory Sloane, what interests me, Nath, Don Pike, very, very smart bloke, and Blind Freddie could have told you that was what was going to happen with Rory Sloane before the game. So when they went to him and started bashing him up, everyone knew that was going to happen. Is there a case, as important as he is to their stoppage setup, is there a case for saying, you know what, we know that's going to happen, so let's start him off the wing? I know North Melbourne used to do that with Boomer. When you knew someone was going to come to him, they said, well, let's take him out of a stoppage situation so he's not just going to get poleaxed.
Well, they did it after half time. They pushed him to half back.
It's definitely an option, but the clubs are
just
so
to start,
hell-bent
so
at the moment on just setting up the way they want to set up. They're hell-bent on that. They think if they break that mould, then that they open themselves up to carnage and overlap the other way. So that would be the reason why they don't. I was surprised not enough Adelaide players got around him and really gave it back to the St Kilda boys. They did a little bit. But
that surprised us too.
I thought Adelaide should have known that was coming.
Yeah, you got to give something to get something. So when a player wants to go to someone like a Sloan or a Jack Stephen, so, you know, with such dogged determination, and they're just going to do it regardless,
yep,
then you can start to manipulate your structures a little bit. And Nate's right. The way teams want to play now, everyone wants to play their own style and play their own way. So to go out and have that tag, you do have to give something up.
Is there also, Jim, a possibility that Don Pike wants Warwick Sloan to work through the vagaries, yep, of this new, maybe, situation in his footy life?
Maybe. It's only the start of the game that interests me with that. Yeah. Once the game started, then he obviously goes back into his normal setup. But when you know you're going to get that, you know, bluff and bluster and bashing into and all the rest of it, I just always look at it and go, well, why wouldn't you just send him out to the wing so that there are two of them on their own? And then it's pretty hard to do it. And then once the game starts, you take it away. But otherwise, you end up with that, I don't know, just thing in the middle. And I know that there were times with Brent that the Kangaroos used to do that just to make sure that he was away. And then the bloke who was going to bash him was not going to be able to do it because there was just two players on their own on the wing.
I think the really positive thing for Adelaide is usually this year, or at times, when Sloan's been taken out of the game, Adelaide have really struggled. But clearly they were able to find a way last night when Sloan was well down. Kobe Stevens did a great job.
Your own midfield group, is there enough sizzle in there, Rui? Is, when you look at the Saints and if they're battling like last night, I mean, Stevens obviously a fine player and Seb Ross is having a really good year. Is there more needed in there or you got enough?
Oh, you'd always like more, just like the Warriors, you know, they go out and get Kevin Durant. But, yeah, look, we're you know, I think, going to be really active in the market. The club's been pretty open and honest about that, about trying to bring great players into our football club. So, yeah, I don't think you ever get to a point where you say, this, you know, we've got enough.
You feel like you need an elite midfielder, don't you, at the Saints, to complement a group of players who are a handy group of players, but there's no real superstars. Jack Stephen borders on...
A grunt elite midfielder.
Yeah, I mean... There's two players on offer at the moment, maybe Dustin Martin, maybe Josh Kelly, but they're the two superstars that I think would add to that St Kilda mix, because Carlisle at one end, you got Nathan Brown as well, then you got four forwards who can mark the ball and kick goals. I think that's what you need.
Yeah, it'll be great to bring one in, but what would also be great would be for Seb Ross to continue on his trajectory and turn into an elite bona fide A-grade midfielder, you know, and some of our other young mids to be able to do that as well. So, you know, there's a bit of a balance there. You want to obviously bring great players in, but you need to nurture and encourage and develop the ones you've got as well.
Hawks Gold Coast today. Hawthorn go in without four-time premiership superstar, the reptilian himself, Grant Birchall's wandered in. Hello, Birch.
Hello, guys. How are you going?
I'll get you wound up. Hey, very nice. How are you?
Well, yes, good, good.
Well, speaking of back halves, yours has been thrown around a little bit. You're not out there, of course, and neither is your great mate Ben Stratton. And I don't think people from outside realise how important the two of you are to the way Hawthorn play their footy.
Oh, yeah, look, not only Strats and I, but we're missing Chipper and Hodgie as well today. So, yeah, there's a fair bit of experience out for us, but, you know, we just got to deal with what we've got and I'm sure the boys will do okay today.
We've seen Joey Montagna, the most recent version of it, but we've seen footballers in this last three or four years really start to manufacture this completely bruise-free, just run around on your own off halfback and get the footy. This is a role you invented 10 years ago. You've had a decade of playing on no one.
Oh, I don't know about that, JB. It's been good.
Yeah, of course it's been good. It's been unbelievably good.
How frustrating personally has it been for you this year, given that the club is going through a very difficult patch by way of comparison to recent years, and obviously people like yourself who've been around for a long time would normally be the people trying to get it out of it. You've had so many injuries and so many setbacks in a year that you could probably do without that being the case.
Yeah, that's right. Hasn't been a great year so far personally with the injury and that, but that's footy. I can't complain. I've had such a good run. So I've just treated it as if, you know, just have a really good break, freshen up and get back out there ASAP. But, it is really frustrating at the moment watching the boys out there. We just seem to be playing some inconsistent footy at the moment, which is the most frustrating part.
Did you fear it was coming, what we've seen to this point of 2017?
No, I didn't really. No, obviously our first month of the footy season was pretty terrible, but I think our last 6 weeks we've been a little bit more consistent and competitive, and we've had a couple of good wins along the way, so I think we're on the right track.
How's Clarko's demeanour? I mean, you've had such a long period of success like ours, so he'd be a happy sort of man in an angry man's body most of that time. How is he right now?
Yeah, he's been pretty good. He's been pretty composed in our meetings. He understands that we've got a lot of young guys at the moment that need to be, taught, how to play the right way. We've tinkered with a few things with our game plan and that as well. So, yeah, he's been pretty good with the young guys in
and
particular.
Who's the coach that's taken Chris Fagan's spot, you know, to keep things cool and nice? And
yeah, well, we got Jason Bird up in the box trying to settle down Clarko. It's a big role. But,
does he hold him firmly down or what does he do?
Yeah, sometimes he has to get a little bit physical with him. He's been great and he's been doing his role perfectly.
What about your role today, mate? What do you do? Do you go up and sit in the coach's box? I've always found it's a really good way to get to know the coach's nicknames for your player, your teammates. There's some great stuff that you get to learn up there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, I'll sit up there and I'll have a close look at the our young defenders in particular and see how they go.
Speaking of which, Ryan Burton, staggering. This is a man who's only played 14 games. He's playing like a 200 gamer and a very talented one. Is he advanced quicker than you thought he would?
It doesn't surprise me. No, he's confident in his own ability. Had a great preseason. And he's just one of those guys. He always wants the ball in his hands, uses the ball really, really well. He just continues to break the lines and really open up the play for us.
Tom Mitchell coming into the team, racking up a lot of stats and is probably in the top two, three in the best and fairest counting. How have you found his role to this point?
I reckon he's been terrific, yeah. His ability to really get his hands dirty, get in there and release the ball out to our runners has been spot on, and that's what we've brought him over to do. So, like you said, he'd be in our top two or three in our best and fairest quite comfortably.
What about your other big recruit, mate? So Jaeger O'Meara comes in, clearly on a pretty lucrative contract. A couple of your stalwarts go out. How frustrating has that been for not only Jaeger but for his teammates?
Yeah, it's frustrating for Jaeger. He had such a great preseason, a great NAB, or what is it?
JLT.
I can't keep up with the preseason games. But, he had a really good run, and even his first couple of games were really good, and, just copped a knock on his knee. And he's been great. We'll assess him after the bye. But the fitness guys in particular have set out a really good program for him. So, for him personally, it's frustrating coming to a new club, wanting to do well and impress your teammates. But, he'll be back soon.
I've got the bye coming up after this game. So is that just a period off or are you doing something collectively? What's going to happen?
We got Sunday to Wednesday off. So most of the guys are going down to Barnburgle and having a whack of golf.
Okay.
So we're just going to get out of the place and, really refresh and go again for the second part of the year.
Ryan, Schoenmakers interest me, Birch. You've got all of the problems you've discussed, including four of your key defenders out and he still can't get a game. What's going on?
Good question. He's just been out of favour, I think. He's been playing down back for the past couple of weeks in the VFL.
That happens, does it? Coaches go off you, just, do they? Personally, do they go
I
off
don't think... Oh, we just haven't got an opportunity. I'm not sure what's going on. But,
I think they do, JB.
Probably an unfair question to ask a current player.
It is, but Nick, it is, isn't it? Coaches, sometimes they like you, sometimes they don't.
Lee Matthews went off you, BT.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, big one.
Yeah, it happens.
I went off him as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes it's not as simple as going back for a week or two. Sometimes they send you back with a deliberate, he's going to spend 6 weeks there and he's going to have to work his way through it. So, see what he's made of.
A couple of things I need to finish on with you, Birch. Firstly, a little bird told me that you were at Vanilla Ice during the week and really demonstratively dancing.
The old snorkel next to me, it was the one that was carrying on up on the dance floor, busting a few moves.
What have we got here?
And the other one I need to talk to you about is I have a strong view that a fair bit of the life's been sucked out of the Texan since he's got horrendously loved up and he's just lost the balance in his life. And you have become a very similar man in reverse. Is this true?
That's true. Yes. Now I'm back on the market.
Has some of the life come back into you because you did lose your weight?
I did. No, I'm back. I'm back bigger and better than ever before.
Well, I would hope so, because you were really starting to go under the door into a room.
Yeah, no, I'm back.
All right. I like to hear that.
Bit of a concern. I would have thought,
when are you playing football again, please?
Hopefully the Crows after the bye. So okay, good. Touch and go. So hopefully I'll be okay for that one.
Very necessary in this side. Thanks for dropping by.
No worries.
Brian Taylor's here. We heard a magnificent vault before, which stopped traffic. But Bristol, there's a bit of other stuff going on as well. We want to focus on an overseas country and also some other news.
I know we like to talk about football, and it's sort of embarrassing sitting here in front of Nick, and he expects us to talk about footy. We talk about ourselves.
We do much more about ourselves. Like, Rui knows how we roll.
He's very good at talking about other stuff, Brian, particularly himself.
Well, Nick is filling in for Duck.
Yes.
Duck's over in Bali.
Yep.
It's come to my attention. I saw a shot of a billboard featuring our Duck. A very sleazy sort of sideshow operation in Kuta, down near Kuta Beach there.
Oh, no.
Just up an alley, turn right, left, and then you're there. It's sort of a backroom operation. and on the billboard, this is like a, you know, the equivalent of a sportsman's night in Australia.
Right.
So Dean Wallace, Nathan Bock, Steve Baker, Ricky Olerenshaw.
Oh, here Ricky O. The shirt off, Ricky O.
And wait for it, Sam Cranitch. So, not a lineup that you'd bust the doors down to.
Sam Cranitch.
With the greatest respect to all of those fine gentlemen.
You would have played with Cranitch, wouldn't you?
No.
So, this is the lineup. And, nice. And of course, one said Wayne Carey.
W. Carey attached.
So, Ricky O. Elma Fudd.
A very dodgy place.
Yes.
I would have thought. Of the wad of notes that were going to be handed over on the night, that if Duck doesn't get 9/10 of what's handed over, when you look at the quality of operators there, this is not the quality field that you'd normally see in the Melbourne Cup. It's more a stony bridge race sort of feel about it. And so,
well Bristol, it would be consistent with the way Ducks rolled for 30 years if he would have received 9/10 of any money that was being handed out.
And I am told that on the start of the night, ladies and gentlemen, almost that stage, no microphones.
Oh, no.
So this
you wouldn't have tolerated that, Bristol.
This ordinary outfit here has had to also dampen enthusiasm of those that have paid to go. By
how many would turn up to that, BT?
Oh, I would have thought, given the lineup, at 20, maybe.
20.
Anyway, now.
Yep.
A serious one.
Yes, please. Yep.
Fasolo, interesting, isn't it? I'm told that after the whole Fasolo thing, that the said Robbo decided that he'd write a letter of apology to the Collingwood Football Club and Fasolo. This is what I'm hearing. I'm not...
I think he was asked to.
Yeah, well, he asked to, did, whatever. Anyway, he did. But I'm also told that in that letter of apology, it was suggested by the apologiser that the best way to clear this up would be to do a story with me. So this is the letter of apology. We could clear this up not with the apology, but with a double page spread in my paper. That's what I'm told. Interesting. So make a blue, get a story out of it.
How was that received by the Collingwood Footy Club?
I'm not sure because I don't. You know, this didn't come out of Collingwood. Their JB.
Oh, I know, but have you got any intel as to whether they're going to go ahead with it or?
I don't know. It's all rather...
No, I don't think that... I don't think that'll be happening, Jim. Shut up! The footy's on Triple M! Triple M rocks football.